when you have enough to retire on, that's one area of peace that you have. When you keep your family together and everybody's happy, that's a certain level of peace. And in this chaotic world, and Lord knows, it seems to be getting more and more chaotic by the passing years. Peace is something that apparently isn't easily attained for a lot of people. So if you have it, hold on to it, because it's precious to have.
What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I'm Tavares Ferguson, aka Ferg, joined my co-host, Rozzy and Buff. Fellas, actually, I'm going to take a sec before we jump into it. Just want to send a shout out to all our Mobile family, our LaFleur Rattler family. We had a shooting recently, and to all the youth that were involved, seem to be doing okay, and just my heart goes out to the students and people who had to be a part of that. So we'll start by saying that. We'll probably jump with that a little more later, but fellas, take it away.
Yeah, I was gonna start with that actually, and just talk about how it's so surprising that the families are almost like, oh well, like, hey, you should go to calculus after a shooting and you better be in class. Like, we are so desensitized to shootings at schools, but in LaFleur in general, or in Mobile in general, that like people literally were like, their kids couldn't leave school. They had to stay at school and go to class after. So that was just disheartening to me to hear that, you know, that people weren't worried about their kids as much once they found out that they weren't the ones that got shot. But it's very traumatic, and we talk about dealing with PTSD and everything like that on this show a lot. And those kids, they need to talk to somebody, and hopefully they can open up and don't internalize it if they are bothered by any that's going on. So parents out there, if your kids go to LaFleur, make sure that you're checking on them and that they are getting help if they need it. But talking about LaFleur and our alumni, I want to shout out the homie Ashima Franklin for joining the Breakfast Club this week. She was on there to promote the tour. I think it's Funny AF Females. And so she's on the tour right now up in New York and nationwide. And so shout out to her, man. That is awesome to make it to the big stage like that, be on the Breakfast Club. So anything that we can do to help, let the Three Brothers know. We got to make sure we get you on the show at some point. I know we're not the Breakfast Club, but we're the next best thing. That's what I'll say. But that's all I got, man. I didn't really have a whole lot this week.
The Breakfast Club ain't never had Eugene Goodman on there, so we better there than you go. Him, actually.
There it is. Yeah, we're beefing with the Breakfast Club now, Buff? Is that what it is?
No, man. But I just want to echo what Rozzy said and what you said at the top of the show for about the shooting at LaFleur. And what Rozzy mentioned, Ashima Franklin, our classmate. I just got a couple things. One, you guys know Tyreek Hill, mm-hmm. right? Very, mm-hmm. very fast gentleman for the Miami Dolphins. This dude went and allegedly filed for divorce. I'm assuming he didn't know that was public record. So when reporters got a hold of him, it's like, Tyreek Hill filed for divorce. He was like, what? No, I'm happily married. What are you talking about? I did no such thing. And the reporters came back, Tyreek Hill, same county, married to the same woman you married to is right here. He said, you know what happened? Somebody that worked for me filed that on my behalf without me giving them the green light. And I just want to say, come on, Tyreek.
I mean, you never know.
That is possibility. I signed it. You know, I'm trying to time it right. And you go out and you file it before I'm meant to. I can see that happening. Say that.
But don't say it never happened and all that kind of stuff. You know? And I felt like he could have kept himself from becoming somewhat of a joke if he had said, you know what? It was the heat of the moment. We've been getting into it lately. At the time, I thought that's what I wanted. But as of now, I no longer do. And it was, you know, just a rash decision.
If he would have played sassy. temporary and sassiness.
Yeah. So, so that was kind of funny to me.
Can we tag that? Temporary and sassy. Temporary and sassiness? Temporary insanity. That's when guys get emotional.
Yeah. So, you know, him not knowing that it was public record, that I thought that was funny. And that's happened before. I forgot. It's another football player that did that. And then even with Tua, his quarterback, like he went and quietly got married and they found out about it and asked him about it. He's like, I wasn't trying to let everybody know, but yeah, I did get married.
Public.
So divorce and marriage are public records, people. That's all I got. Other than, I just kind of want to say, Nicki Minaj is a stupid bitch.
Wow.
That's so all I got. With Nicki now?
The barb's I'm beefing coming. With Nicki.
Yeah. No. So why are you beefing, bro? You didn't like Bigfoot?
It ain't. You know what? I'm not even. People are coming after her for stuff she said on Bigfoot. And look, we've seen many examples of rappers going too far with beef. Jay-Z famously got called out for things he said, including mentioning Nas' daughter's car seat in the car and him leaving condoms in it and things like that. There have always been rappers that have gone too far. So I'm not going to get on her with that too much. It's just that she knows the influence and control she has over her followers. And the things that she encourages and things like that, you're at a big age now. At least with Jay and Nas and some of the other rappers, Pac, he was in his 20s. They were so much younger. In your early 40s, baby girl. Like, come on.
Yeah. So, like she doxed Meg Thee Stallion's mom's.
Yeah, like, they had to increase security.
Did she do it or did? Well, I thought it was one of her people.
She's encouraging it, though. She's cheering it on.
So is she more liable than DeSantis and Trump? Because they encourage.
Tell me where DeSantis encouraged someone to do a shooting. And then, yes, she literally encouraged that.
She encouraged the shooting?
No. What Riley mentioned about the gravesite.
Yeah.
Putting out the information, getting... I don't know. I don't want to go down this path. It's too early or too late.
It's too late.
It's too late. I just think people, yeah. I think when, you know, the late great Uncle Ben said it best.
Oh, yeah.
With great power
comes great responsibility.
Yeah. I was like, Uncle Ben? I'm like the rice dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, then, you know, she co-signing Ben Shapiro, who has all but, you know, said some questionable racist things in the past. She co-signing him making a rap song, making fun of, you know, liberals, black people, and she co-signing it. And then I guess later on she actually read the lyrics like, oh, no, I ain't mean that. Like, she's displaying a lot of Kanye behavior.
Oh, okay, I can accept that. I just I don't expect more or even anything close from somebody like Nicki Minaj as I do for our elected leaders. You know, she is a rapper former.
But your elected leaders lean on people like her.
Yeah.
They trot them out to register to vote. So we can't downplay what you expect, the expectation of them, just because she's a rapper. I mean, we had rappers that have fought for prison reform and things like that. So I'm not gonna give her the excuse that she's a rapper and we can't expect that from her. Expect responsibility. Well,
I'm not. I will stand by that. I will stand by the fact that there's levels to their knowledge, their influence, and what they represent. Like, we got mumble rappers and stuff like that. Like, I don't expect Lil Yachty to go out there and make a political push. And there's some people who are woke and have more influence and stuff like that. So there's levels to that. What I'm saying is an elected official, like, this is your job. This is like, you are here to represent the people. You know, there's certain rappers out here who are trying to represent bad bitches, right? It's like, these are my people. These are the people I represent. But as an elected official, you're supposed to be supposed to represent the voice of the people and the better part of humanity, all this stuff. Like, you're supposed to be leading our, you know, our government. But, you know, I think as we get closer to the election, I'm pretty sure we will, like you said, we'll have some people who are marched out and paraded out and have some things to say. So I think that'll be a great conversation later in the political year.
And if you're specifically talking about DeSantis, he is speaking for the people. I mean, he's been elected twice. They feel like schools have gotten too woke and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He speaks for them.
Speaking of, Ryza, what you have? Everybody went?
Yeah, he went.
Yeah.
So did you see, did I show y'all the clip of the young black Republican, a Trump supporter, not even a Republican, Trump supporter who got kicked offline. It was two of them got kicked offline on a pro-Trump rally. Like, it was a pro-Trump group online. And basically, the buddy was like, look, don't put us together. She was like, one America. Like, no. What, you know, like, what's your name? Basically, they showed all their colors. It's like, I'm one of y'all. And it's like, how did you find out about this? Who told you about this? Oh, her? Yeah. Why is she here? Why? He wouldn't acknowledge her as a Trumper. It was pretty bad. And you could tell, like, it was rude awakening. I think her name might have been insert random chick name, Blacks for Chicago supporter. No, Chicagoans for Trump supporter. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. So it's going to be very entertaining political season. Any updates? Anything?
Yeah. Has Nikki Haley dropped out yet?
No.
Is she still sticking in there?
Yeah. I think she's probably waiting on South Carolina, and she'll probably go from there.
South Carolina to do what?
Do you think she's just trying to stay in long enough that maybe?
South Carolina to do what? Like, what is she waiting on?
That's a state, dog. She trying to see if she gonna win. He said, wait on South Carolina to do what?
I don't understand. She's another 49 states.
I'm sorry, Rosie. I just had to have him repeat that again. What were you saying, dog?
I was asking, do you think she's trying to hold out until some of the trials come through and maybe Trump becomes ineligible? I think that's what's happening. Now she's trying to hang out.
And she has big money behind her to, I think, last for a little while. So it probably is going to depend on her donors and backers and how far they are willing to wait.
Because
she's publicly saying that, hey, you know, I don't have any opinion on these trials that 45 is facing. But I think internally inside her camp, they're hoping, like, hey, this could happen or that could happen.
Him not being on the ballot, that starts next week, right? The Supreme Court, where there's certain the states Supreme like. Court, I think those start next week as well.
Probably. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I know
they tried to fast track it as fast as possible.
It's just very interesting.
They said they wanted it before March.
Mm. Yeah, like this, I can't. How do we get here? It's very disturbing. It's not my question, but we'll because that video right. I saw the January 6th versus 9/11. That should be a topic very soon. Let's jump into it.
One thing I did forget is John David Washington. Yeah, Denzel Washington's son, he's being eyed to replace Jonathan Majors as Kang the Conqueror. So just want to throw that out there. I actually think it's not a bad casting, so it might work out.
I just don't
he's got the range for it.
I just don't like where they were going with it. Like, it just...
With Kane?
Yeah. I wasn't impressed.
Kane's an awesome character.
Kane himself, I just didn't like...
Yeah, like how they were introducing him. But you got to think, they were showing how Kane has so many variants, and they're all very, very different, right? And so they were trying to weave him into the storylines. And so maybe the storylines were weak, but I think the way they were introducing Kane, to say you never know what you're going to get with one of his variants, which is true, even in the comics. Like, they haven't introduced, there's like four or five others that they really haven't even touched on. And all of them are pretty interesting. So I think it's going to be all right if they stay with it and start bringing it together and start really showing how he can just mess up timelines and mess up stuff and how strong he really is. Because, like, he didn't use any of his tech for real in Ant-Man. So
yeah.
When you get to where he's, like, using all of his tech for real and all of that, he's dope.
Well, I guess that was a buildup because he didn't have all of his tech. That was a downfall, yeah. He didn't have it. Because what is it? The chair? His time chair? Okay.
I can't remember the name. Yeah, but
that gives him a lot of power. Yeah, we'll see. And plus, I just don't trust the MCU is going to do anything right anytime soon. I don't know, last time I was impressed by them. But let's go ahead and jump into it. Oh, and watch He-Man.
Oh, did you watch it already?
I went back and caught up on... Z and I've been binging the last two seasons from He-Man Revelation. Yeah. And we'll start Revolution probably later this week. All right, let's go ahead and jump into it. Raza, you have a question?
No, I don't have a joke. I got Sophie here. Hold on 1 second. Let me go grab her. If she can talk, because she got elbowed in the throat when she was at practice today. So let me see, does she have a voice?
Salutations.
And welcome and greetings and all that jazz.
Hello, hello.
The jazz is the jazz.
Yes. How goes it?
Goes very well.
I heard you got bowed in the throat.
Yeah.
Did you put your hands on him then? Did you retaliate? Did you give him a spinning roundhouse?
I did not retaliate. It was an accident.
Hey, man, every time they got to F around and find out sometimes. You got to do a spinning roundhouse kick to
playing basketball, and she was defending. She was defending me.
Yeah, and so
she had to turn around. She had her elbows up.
Yeah, and when you do a basketball move that includes a spinning roundhouse kick to the jugular, you're playing basketball. Front kick, at least.
I want you to do a report on Draymond Green.
What?
From Black History Month.
I refuse.
For Black History Month, yeah. I want you to report.
No.
I need you to embrace your inner.
I'm already doing what I'm Bessie Coleman. I don't want to.
But she don't got hands.
I did want Muhammad Ali last year.
He got hands. All right, what's your joke for us today?
Okay. What do pigs use in the shower? Hogwash.
I wasn't even close. I was going to say some kind of ointment.
Ointment.
Yeah, that's a good one, huh? So hogwash, I like that. Thank you.
I'm gonna make a thing called hogwash.
Hey,
she made some soap last weekend, so maybe she can name it hogwash.
Or she can make some shitlin cleaning concoction, call it hogwash. You got to experiment with cleaning chitlins at your house.
It's called a trash can. That's what it is. That's how you clean chitlins.
Leave it at the store. All right. So, Buff, I'm going to ask you to jump it off because you didn't get a question last week.
All right, man. I started the show off kind of negatively. By the way, Barbs, don't come for Raza Ferg. That was Buff that said that. I want to turn it a little bit more positive. And just ask you, brothers, I'm sure we've covered this in some fashion in our multitude of answers over the years now, but in three bullet points or less, what does success look like for you guys? Like, is it making it to the top of your career, your job, family, money, you know, traveling whenever you want to? Like, what are your three bullet points?
I think first and foremost for me, it's being able to retire and not have to work anymore. That's success. So, like, maintain my lifestyle how it is right now and not have to worry, right? So many people have to go back to work. So many people. Oh, it's supposed to be bullets. My bad. All right. That's one.
Okay.
All right.
But you can elaborate on it, though.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, yeah, like I said, so many people have to go back to work. So many people have to work until they die, right? And I want to be able to work if I want to. I want to be able to hit them with the, you know, my man got three jobs, I don't need this type thing, whatever it was that old girl said on Everybody Hates Chris. So I want to be able to do that and walk away. The second bullet point for me, I think, is success is raising my kids to be good people. I remember we talked a little bit about that and, you know, what we want for our kids and all that. And so I don't care if they're a starving artist. I don't care if they work a regular job and, you know, 9 to 5 and come home and they're tired every day. But if they're good people, they give back. If, you know, they coach Little League and, you know, raise their family, I'm good. And so just raising the littles to be good people. And I think the other part of success for me is probably finding love, right? Like, you know, I've been to the mountaintop and I want to get back. So, you know, at some point. And so, and that one's hard, right? Like, so I think I found success, and seeing can I find it again is just always difficult. And so I think that is being able to have that person, have your person. We talked about it last week, right? And so, you know, I think having that success again, or having that, is success for a lot of people. I think that's it. So it's mainly family, generation, next generation, and work-wise, just being able to retire. So it's not, I got to be C-suite, blah, 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 blah. It's just being able to comfortably retire.
I'm going to put you on the spot. You said love, and you also once said love was overrated. So is it still overrated, or have you amended that? Or
I think it's still overrated. But that doesn't take away from, like, you wanting it, right? Like,
right.
You know, a lot of people say certain ice creams overrated, but they still delicious. So, you know, I think it's that, like, it's not, I think love is something that is very personal, and, like, you can be loved in different ways. And I think when I was saying, like, love is overrated, I think it's like Fur talked about the ceremonial gestures. I think a lot of people overrated as in it has to be this grand gesture. It has to be this big thing. But like true love, like true being in love, having your person, I don't think that's overrated. Like, I think that right there is like the epitome of, like, you made it. You know, you found that person, you found that thing. That brings you peace and brings you to center. And so having that it's just so hard to find. So no, I don't think that part's overrated.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I agree with Rozzy. So mine, I'm going to try to make it simple, and I'm kind of go in, I guess, a chronological order for me and maybe other people. I think first thing is transcending survival mode, right? So if take a step back, I think success is all relative. You know, a lot of times they never judge a person on where they're at. You kind of look at where they started from, right? It's if, you know, for somebody, it could be they come from a a a house or generation of, you know, people having kids out of wedlock and all this stuff. And it's just like, you not having a kid till you're married could be success to you, right? It, that just, you just broke some kind of, you know, generational curse or whatever. So I think transcending survival mode, like, we talk about our goals financially. Rizzy talked about retirement, right? That's where I'm trying to get. But what I'm not worried about, knock on wood, is I'm not worried about my mortgage being paid, my car notes being paid, you know, my kids, you know, we got on here, we're talking about things we're doing for our family, you know, being able to take my family on vacation. I'm not in a survival mode. And so many people still are in that, you know, it's living check to check. It's those things. It's how do I get to that next level? So being out of survival mode, to me, knowing where I came from and how many others around me are still doing that, and I'm nowhere near where I want to be, but just, I'm just not in survival mode anymore. And that's huge. And it wasn't that long ago where I was beating my head against the wall, trying to figure out, what do I need to do? How do I pay? How am I going to pay this rent? How am I going to marry this woman? So that's first and foremost. Secondly was finding genuine happiness and peace in my life. So, as much as I overthink things and I stress over things, you know, I'm very intentional. I have a lot of goals, but there's a happiness within me and the people around me that I can appreciate. Rizzy talked about finding love. I still stand by love is overrated. And by that, it's love is not going to save your marriage. Right, love alone. You can't base your marriage off love alone. There's a lot of people who love their spouse to death, love their spouse too much. They don't have anything outside of love. They don't have the interpersonal skills. They don't have the emotional emotional maturity. They're still in survival mode. So they're fighting about money, all those things. A lot of your real life day-to-day situations trump love. Or get over love, and you're just fighting, and you just fight for those little moments of love. And not saying it's right or wrong, but I just, when you're not worried about those things, but there's a genuine happiness. Like, I seeing my kids enjoy life, seeing my wife enjoy life. I talk about her a lot when it comes to, she has this true happiness that I wish I could reach, because she's been shielded from a lot of challenges that a lot of people her age have had to deal with. You know, Tabitha's been married for years. She really didn't have to experience the dating scene like a lot of women her age. Like, you saved her, and I'm not, you know, trying to get you a pat on the back, but like, she didn't have to. When she talks to some of her homegirls about the dating scenes as well, today, she can't relate. She probably understands, but she can't relate. Like, girl, it can't be that bad, you know? And I take that to, for me, it's like when I talk to other people about marriage, I can't really relate, because I got one of the best ones out there. You know, like, I got an MJ, you know, she's not perfect, but I got an MJ. I got a goat, you know, so I'm happy. I have healthy kids. I got a great set of friends. I have a fulfilling job. I have fulfilling things in things that fulfill me in my life, as far as, you know, my projects and stuff I'm working on, which brings me to my third part, is building upon a legacy. I think when you get to a certain point and you're not worried about struggle, you're not struggling, and then you're not, and you find happiness and you're not fighting for your relationship and things every day, you're able to build a legacy that can make an impact on others. First things are with my family, my wife and kids. I'm trying to do things to build for them. And then my community. And so that's why I do the Lamplighters. Even this show, the average person doesn't have the time or the energy or the wherewithal to do a show like this, right? Like, we can talk about our lives. We don't have so much going on that everything we talk about is triggering. We might sound like angry black men, because, you know, there's a whole thing about black men in podcasts, but it's not coming from a place of malice, right? Mm-hmm. We can all three of us and stop this podcast today and be okay. We still have happiness and joy and stuff like that in our life. So, and we don't get anything from calling or challenging people's thoughts. So My thing is like, Rizzi, I want to retire, but I also want to build a legacy. I want my kids to be able to, the day my wife and I aren't here, where they're not starting over from where I'm starting over, where I started from. Like, we have properties, we have investments, we have certain things. Rizzi, you know, kind of said something one time, still want to enjoy life, you know, because you do so much for them and deprive yourself, you know, that's not a life I want to live, right? You know, you save money, like, you know, you don't go on vacations, you know, all this stuff because you want to save all this money for your kids. And like, they ain't gonna do shit but do the shit you know, they're not gonna do anything but do the shit that you didn't do. You know, like, I'm not gonna take vacations. Oh, my daddy left me $500,000. I'm gonna go on vacation, you know? And it's like, it's, you know, so all that. So I think all that equals balance.
Superb answers, gentlemen. I really appreciate that. Rizzi mentioned, I know you both said more than what I'm about to just recite, but Rizzi said retirement, his kids, and love. Berg, you mentioned not being in survival mode, happiness and peace, and legacy. I'm going to take one of your answers. Peace, to me, for me, success includes peace. And peace encapsulates so much, because like Rizzi mentioned, having money for retirement. When you have enough to retire on, that's one area of peace that you have. Mm-hmm. When you keep your family together and everybody's happy, that's a certain level of peace. And in this chaotic world, and Lord knows it seems to be getting more and more chaotic by the passing years, peace is something that apparently isn't easily attained for a lot of people. So if you have it, hold on to it, because it's precious to have. My daughter, it's amazing what kids pay attention to. My daughter has a few times now told Tabitha and I that we are relationship goals. And I say that to say that my second bullet point is I want to give her the tools that she needs to be her version of success in life. And I say give her the tools because I can't guarantee success for her. Like, I can give her all the tools she needs. And if she chooses to go a different way, you know, that's going to be on her. But I want to at least give her that, give her a nice home to grow up in, give her that, apparently that example of what a good relationship and marriage looks like, for her to be calling those relationship goals, like introducing her to things when we go out and things like that. I just want to give her the tools that she needs to be her version of success as she grows up. And my last one is enjoyment. I think success has a certain level of enjoyment. We talked about, I think I asked the question a couple of episodes ago, do you guys think therapy is working because of the numbers on how many people are not happy or depressed and things like that? If you have enjoyment in your life, you done damn near won the lotto, because life can beat your ass, and it will definitely try and beat your ass more than once. And there's so many obstacles and hurdles, man. If you have that peace and you have kids and you set them up for success and you're able to enjoy your life, I think those are the three bullet points that I would name for success.
I like those. Your last one, I go back to one of the last things I said was balance. Mm. Because I've always had enjoyment. I've always found a way to enjoy life. But sometimes I use the enjoyment as an escape. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we see people's like, so why they bought these shoes? Why they did all this stuff? And it's like,
enjoyment is definitely one you got to be careful.
Yeah, they're enjoying. You know, they're enjoying,
can't have too much.
They're enjoying life, but they're in survival mode, right?
Like, at what cost?
You know, yeah. Rizzi says it every year, at the beginning of the year, when we get tax season, what is he? He gives a, because guess what, people? People have to go to enjoy the hell out of that tax return.
That little $5,000-$6,000 they about to get.
He mentioned being ready for retirement. A lot of people aren't ready because they're enjoying themselves too much in the present.
That's one of my biggest, you know, always stress, like, that's one of my biggest things is focusing on, you know, I was talking about, you know, real estate and, you know, trying to find investments and stuff like that, because that's big, you know, building that that legacy for retirement for myself, for my kids, where I'm not worried about it. Like, we're, you know, we had, I got young kids, you know, they're going to be in college in the next 15, 20 years.
And I think you brought up a great point. And I'll say this too. If you are, like you said, using certain things as an escape, then I would probably argue then that's not true enjoyment. Like if you're like overspending on things and spending with outside of your means just to try to make yourself temporarily happy, that's just temporary happiness. You know what I mean? Just like a joke to the system. When I say enjoyment, I just mean like overall. You're always going to have bad days.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But just overall, you enjoy.
And that's why, like, when I open one of the things I say, like, genuine happiness and peace, because it's that thing where we see so many people where as long as Byron's buying me stuff, I'm happy. But that's temporary. Mm. That's fleeting, right? That's you're not really, your happiness is tied to physical things. Your happiness is tied to financial aspects and who's buying and doing stuff for you. But like, if nobody else bought anything for you, would Byron still find peace? Would Byron still find happiness? So I think we have to be careful, because I like this question. Now I think about it deeper, because social media has, I think, conditioned us to emulate success. Right. Mm. So Ryzy was talking about love, finding love. Social media teaches you to at least emulate like you found love, or emulate like you don't want love, because you can have a post like, you know, new year, new me, dating myself, like whatever those things are. And it's you gotta find that peace and that real happiness within and stuff like that. And it's very tricky now, because 5 years ago, who was one of the biggest relationship goal stories? In the Black community? Maybe it's a little longer now. Will and Jada. They were relationship goals for many Black people for years. You know, there was even and we'll leave the question alone. There was, I forgot one of those shows Z was watching where they had all these married couples, Black Love or some shit like that. And it's like everybody on there is divorced now. Like, damn near every couple on there is, I think Nia Long and her husband might have been on there. It's everybody. So, you know, the world, like you said, can be tricky. And so define your success for you. Sure. Be real with yourself.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Ryzy, what you got for us?
I got one. It came up the other day from my homeboy. So me and Lenny, we just sitting around, and he tells me a story about one of his homeboys and how his girlfriend is teaching her nephew to wipe himself after he pees.
Say it again.
And so, yeah, exactly. She's teaching her nephew that he needs to go get some toilet paper and wipe himself after he pees. He can't just flick it off, you know, couple flicks and be done.
Three shakes.
You're playing with it, player. But yeah, she's teaching him that he needs to wipe it off. So I wanted to get you brothers' opinions on, you know, is it? It's hygienic, so...
I don't think I have an opinion on that.
Is it smart for her to teach him that, or should she kind of, you know, stay with the traditional way of not? Because I'll hands down say I don't wipe myself after I pee. like 99.9% of men, but... you know,
Ferg, you should have went first off. Look, it's her nephew.
Is her nephew her son?
Her nephew.
Yeah, her nephew. if the parents are okay with her doing it. I'm like, for, I don't really have a strong opinion on that. I will say, based on public men's restrooms, it's going to be, I'm not going to say hard, but it's not going to be as easy to always do that, because, you know, our urinals, there's there's no tissue in sight unless you go in one of the stalls or whatever. But, you know, I guess she thinks that's what he needs to do.
Most times stalls are open, so he may just not use urinals and just go to the stalls every time.
What's
going to
be hilarious is, I don't know if they're where the parents are in this situation, right? Rizzy, you and I have sons. Imagine you send your Ollie away for the weekend with poo. Then all of a sudden, Ollie comes back wiping himself. I think he's like, I don't even know. Like, what? Did I miss something? Are they teach? Did they teach it at school? Like, I don't know if there is a medical, logical reason, and she can prove it. And it, you know, I don't know. You know, little boys are nasty. So I mean, if it's teaching them to go above and beyond.
Yeah,
I guess that's.
I mean, take her teaching him out of it. Like, that's what sparked the question. But I really want to kind of discuss.
Your, does your larger it make question sense? Is should men wipe themselves? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. That's ultimately what I'm asking. Is should we be wiping ourselves?
I don't know.
What a question. So like, okay.
Time out.
Fine.
Time
you asked the question.
Time out. Okay. Out of all the questions that we've had, this is the one that stopped us. We talked about one night trans. We talked about everything to the point where should men wipe them?
Oh man, this is gonna sound so whatever, but I'm not still. Don't you post this out of context either, Rizzy. I'm not still wet after
I've been doing this for so long. I'm good at this.
You, if I listen to Monday's episode and it opens with that,
you know,
just remember, I'm gonna see you Mardi Gras player.
I'm not wet after I pee. That's the opening right there.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh man.
Yeah,
but that was her argument. So to go back to her argument was that, guys, if you 10 times after you finished and you like put a, you know, you took some toilet paper to it, it would still be wet a little bit. And I tried to explain. I was like, no, that's not how it works. Like, it doesn't work that way. And so you're not wet after. And she's like, I don't believe it. You're going to have to show it to me. So because she's like, I'm like,
whoa.
Well, not me, but like, you know, in general, like, she, like, yeah. So
that's a lot of pressure.
Like, she's like, I'm gonna have to see that. Like, I'm gonna have to have a guy and like her boyfriend or whatever, right? Like, you know, this is his lady or whatever. She's gonna have to like wipe him and see if it's
this
dry.
This Lenny's lady.
No, Lenny's homeboy's lady.
Okay, I'm saying Lenny. Your lady's lost faith. And your wife, she didn't watch too many of your pee stained draws. So, I will say this: I have a 4-year-old son, and when he goes to the bathroom in the morning, especially early in the morning when he wakes up, there have been occasions where, because I get him ready in the morning, I'm like, "Did you pee on yourself?" Right? But I think he's still have sleep, just going through the motions, and not making sure he's fully dry. So we have had to do, you know, quick baths, wash offs and stuff in the morning, because of course I don't want him to smell like pee, and we change underwear and all that stuff. So if this is a temporary fix until you can get yourself together, that's cool. You know, But as a 43-year-old man, if I go to the bathroom, and every time I go to the bathroom, I need to go in the stall so I can wipe my pee-pee, you know, like, because that's essentially what you're doing. And at that point, you're wiping yourself, it goes back to being a pee-pee. Yeah, like, you're like...
I want you to already have some in your pocket and just go to the urinal when you're done.
I can't see myself, like, after I finish, like,
that's it. Like, that's it. Because, you know, rule of thumb, we try to get space in between the urinals and stuff like that. And you look straight ahead. But if a nigga pulls some, like, baby wipes out of his bag or whatever, or puts them on top of the urinal and... it's gonna catch my attention. Like, what the hell? You sit there, and all of a sudden it's like, you gotta see what the hell is going on. Did I miss something?
What a question.
All right.
Oh, can you imagine though? Can you imagine middle schoolers though? Like the like kids are brutal, bro. Yeah. Like, can you imagine the people in middle school seeing that?
Kids may need to, like, how old is the boy again?
I mean, he's not in middle school yet, so maybe elementary school, so under 10.
Yeah, I mean, they may need to. Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I have a 4-year-old. I can see that. We're just going to have to rough it out because I'm just not teaching him how to wipe. That's just one of the challenges of being a boy. So my question, I don't know how you guys are going to go with this. So I'm going to set some... Do we believe anybody's perfect?
No.
Are there any perfect situations?
Perfect situations? Do you believe
in perfect situations?
Do you believe in perfection?
I mean, you can bowl a 300 in a bowling game, okay. So there is a perfection. Yeah.
Okay.
So, there's instances, like, of perfection.
Consistent, or not even consistent. You have to bowl to 300 every time. That's perfection. Bowling a 300 game... is one thing. The reason I ask this is the question was posed, can you be a good man, and I'm going to throw a woman in there, and still cheat?
Yes.
Elaborate. Why does that make you... Why once you cheat, do you not just default to being this bad person?
Well, how do you view Martin Luther King?
Okay. Within the relationship. But I mean, can you still be considered a good person within the relationship?
I'm gonna lean towards... no. Maybe there are some instances where you still overall can be a good person. Because I mean, you know, like you said at the beginning of the question, nobody's perfect, and the like temptation is a word for a reason. And so, I'm going to go with that. Like, there can be examples where I would say that person is still a good person. I would need all of the context in it, but yeah.
Rizzy, what say you?
I think so. Go back to the joke of, you know, what if your lady was in a horrible train accident and, you know, after the train accident, she ain't had no pussy no more. Like, if you stayed with her and, like, everything else is good, but you ended up cheating every once in a while because, you know, she ain't got no pussy no more. Like, you know, are you considered a good person in that situation or not? Like, you know, the lie because I love you type thing. I think there are situations where it makes more sense to cheat and stay in a relationship than to break that person's heart, break the family apart, blah, 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 and go do something else. Right?
Here's like, the thing. I'm back. My bad, Ross. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, good people have done bad things throughout history. I think good people can do a bad thing. I don't think one act should define the totality of a person. But again, everything has to have context because we're not finna excuse everybody that cheats and say, oh, well, they're still a good person. I'm just saying that there can be examples where that person is still a good person.
You talk like moments of weakness, that type of thing, versus, yeah, like, definitely. I'm a full on second relationship, you know, side chick, got a mistress type thing, it's very difficult to be like, yeah, you're a good person on that. But, you know, that momentary weakness, the person's deployed and, you know, it's been 9 months and I'm worried, yada, yada, yada. You slip up one time type thing. Is that person still a good person and still love you in that situation? Right? Like that, there are situations that you make the mistake and hey, it is what it is. You're still a good person in general.
Okay. Your brother shed a lot of light. Even though Ryza, you kind of condone cheating a little more than I would.
I didn't condone cheating. It's still wrong. I just think when you talk about, like, you don't, again, back to perfection, right? You don't have to be perfect to be a good person. So that's I'm not condoning it like it's okay. What I'm saying is that person can still be a good person even though they cheated.
Yeah, the argument was brought up and it was very just blatant. It's like, we don't demand perfection in anything else, especially in a relationship, outside of infidelity. Think about it. If this person you're dating is bad with money, they grow, you know, they get better over time, yada, yada, yada. You admire the progress. You admire, if Byron is just very stable, you got their 20 years and then he has a rough patch where somebody did layoffs. And so now he's struggling financially. Like we give room for mistakes on everything else but cheating is the only thing we demand perfection in, because once you cheat, you're a cheater. If Ryza loses,
say that, I mean I disagree, people, because I think so many people cheat and stay together, but that society, I think that the ideal is there for that, but that's the same thing as, oh, they're alcoholics, you shouldn't stay with them. Or, oh, they did, like, their society says you should, those are red flags and you should leave, right? So I think
you're saying alcoholic
kind of says that same thing.
An alcoholic versus a cheater are two different things, because you don't drink one time and become an alcoholic. You cheat one time and you're a cheater. What I'm saying is, and you're right, people do stay. I'm saying society puts this emphasis on, this person cheated one time, they're a cheat. Like, it doesn't matter. She could be horrible, he can be horrible, but if he goes out and cheats, she goes out and cheats, she is a cheater. And it was, I forgot what I was watching, because it's like, well, he should have left, he should have did this, or she should have, like, it's all these reasons for, if you're going to cheat, that's the one thing that's unacceptable. So you should, you know, like you said, he loves her, whatever. He doesn't want to end the marriage. He loves everything else. He's going through some weak times, whatever. Or she's going through whatever. And this is when they say leave. But everything else, you're supposed to see it through. Death do your part. Like, it's this is the one thing. And I'm not condoning cheating. I'm just saying we allow on a daily basis people to get away with so many other things in a marriage and a relationship that we justify them going through something. We justify immaturity. We justify insecurities. We justify depression. We justify everything else in a relationship. But they cheat? Like you said, you compared an alcoholic, somebody who continuously drinks, to somebody who cheats once. Right? Because that person who cheats one, you know, people can call them a cheater. And you can be together 25 years. In 25 years, if you cheat once, you're a cheater. How could you do this? You've been together 25 years. We got kids together. I gave you the best years of my life. It's hell and high water. The marriage can be over. And I'm part of society because I don't know if I could deal with it, right? But I'm just saying, like, when you think about it, it's like, that's kind of crazy. Like, that's pretty much the only thing in life where we really want perfection, you know? And it's hard to, you know, you might see it through because of everything else left around it, but you're not going to become an alcoholic because I became an alcoholic. right? There's no like, okay, she drank herself to death, or, you know, she drank all this time, so I'm gonna go back and drink on her. You know, it's you know, it's you can get your get back, right? Like, it's not like he's alcoholic. She's like, you know what? Women can always out cheat men. We already know that. So, you know, oh, he's alcoholic. I'm gonna be a drug addict. I'm gonna be a meth. Like, you don't go do that. You don't get back that way. You go back and, you know, you cheat on her. She about to fuck your homeboy. Right? So that was a very interesting question. And Byron, I feel like you were coming to the mic.
I was gonna say that's mainly because cheating is betrayal. And that's something that in nearly all relationships, a lot of people, society at large, will tell you they can't forgive. Like, even in a friendship, just take marriage out of it. An act of betrayal is where a lot of people draw the line. And in marriage, cheating is that act of betrayal. And it's hard for a lot of people to come back from, because it's like, you know, you show me this one side of you, and the whole time, you allowed yourself to do this to me. And then it comes into, if you truly love me, you wouldn't have did that and all that kind of stuff. So betrayal is just something that's hard for people to come back from.
That might be the best definition of, or rationale behind the consequences of cheating or infidelity I've heard. And I get it. But then you kind of, when you were closing, like, we've been together all this time, you showed me the side of you. 25 mm-hmm. years, you showed me the side of you. But last month, you slept with an old girl at the office. I've always been this person. Like, I showed you 25 good years. And now all of a sudden, you got like, I've been trash for 25 years. Now you've been lying to me you've been waiting for 25 years to f- that bitch. Like, it's like, no. If I was waiting 25 years and go, you know, cheat, I would have cheated 25 years ago.
I do agree with you that society at large still, you know, pretty much recommends you should leave the relationship. But just in individual conversations, I do hear more and more of people saying that it's not automatic.
Yeah.
They're not saying that they're going to stay, but they're just saying, you know what? It would depend. And, you know, it is not necessarily automatic.
Yeah.
But overall, what you said, you know, society,
because it's going to push the envelope. Yeah. Like, there's other things that can be detrimental to a relationship. And once again, if people improve or get better, we give them credit. We never expect perfection in anything else. Right? You know, like, we don't expect perfection. You can't, like, be, you know, cheat a lot, then you kind of just stop cheating, and you just cheat a little less, you cheat on the holidays or something like that. And if you do, you accept it, and you accept that part of your relationship, and that's not the norm. And you probably keep that a secret because most of America is not going to accept that, or most of the world's not going to accept that. But with cheating, it's all or nothing. We've been together 25 years. You smashed a chick in the office. You've been waiting your whole life. I should have never trusted you. My mama told me never to you. You would be like, it's this whole, like, you know, it's a whole big thing. Because I could see myself being, I would be distraught, betrayed, all this stuff. I get it. But when you look at it, at the root of it, it's perfection.
I'm gonna say this too. If you get caught cheating and they take you back, even though you're the one that messed up, you may not want to go back. I'm just saying, every case is different, but you know, you may never hear the end of it.
What's the song? Ooh, that get back a motherfucker.
Like, yeah. Not even to get back. It's a threat.
But not even to get
the
back. Like,
get back. It's the threat of it.
Yes. And the constant reminder.
Yeah.
Constant reminder.
Well, we going on a girls' trip. I don't know. You know, don't call me. I'll call you. Like, you know, it's you can't ask her any questions. You enjoyed yourself? Oh, I had a blast. You know, like, whatever it is, you like, what does that mean? She had a blast. You know, it's crazy, man. But like I said, it's so weird when you think about it. It's like, I can't think of anything else where we expect perfection.
Yeah.
And anything less is a problem. Put it that way. It's not we expect perfection. Anything less causes a problem. If you're married to Tab. If she's great 364 days a year and she has an attitude one day, yeah, you might say that, but you get over it because the other 364 days, like, she's not an asshole. But that one day, you know, you might be in your feelings a little bit, but you move on. You don't hold on to that. 364 days, you cheat one day. Like you said, this is probably going to, if we make it past this, there's a good chance this is going to impact us for the rest of your life.
For sure. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, fellas, let's go ahead and wrap it up. Good show.
Yeah, man. Sir. Well, all I got, man, is I ran across a little saying on Facebook or whatever, and it just kind of hit home with me. But it says, live your life as if it was a book that Florida would ban. And I was like, I actually like that. That's not a bad thing to think through. So live your life, man. Be free. We talked a lot about success on this show. We talked a lot about relationships. And you know, hygiene. So live your life like it was a book that would be banned. So folks, go out there, have fun, enjoy life, come to Sneaker Ball, get ready for Mardi Gras. Shout out to Inspire You on Air, the new Beat of the Bay. Check us out on Content Ville, all that good stuff, man. Shout out to y'all. That's all I got. I'm out. Buff, it's on you.
I just want to echo the Content Ville part, man. Make sure you download that free app, Inspire You On Air. Check us out on Content Ville. We're also available on every podcast platform there is. The only thing I have is we constantly, routinely tell people, you know, to check on your friends, your loved ones, especially the strong ones, because you never know what they're going through. Just, you know, periodically, randomly check on them. Well, a couple of days ago, Elmo did just that on Twitter. And Elmo said, Elmo is just checking in. How is everybody doing? And people proceeded to just dump all of their issues and problems. As of right now, he has like 15,000 comments, 51,000 retweets, 129,000 likes. Like, it really showed that, because, you know, a lot of them were jokes, but there were a lot of them that people was like revealing some serious stuff that they're going through. And it just really showed that there are a lot of people that are walking around carrying stuff inside, feeling like they don't have anyone to express it to. So that simple call, that's not something we just say. That really can make a difference in someone, like calling, preferably call, but, you know, even a text may be good enough. Call, hey man, just checking on you. You know, nothing really triggered it. You just crossed my mind. Just want to see how you're doing. You never know who may appreciate that and how much it'll mean to them. So again, continue to check on your loved ones. That's all I got.
Great message. Speaking of checking on your loved ones, my heart goes out to the ladies of the Beta Alpha chapter of Delta Sigma Theta, our FAMU chapter. Their spring 98, I'm thinking spring, I can't make sure. Spring 98 line just lost their second line sister in just a matter of a short few weeks, I think. This is the second person they lost. And so my heart goes out to them, the Thomas family, all the people that she touched. She was one of the first Deltas I met at FAM. She was very welcoming. She will be missed. She ended her fight with cancer and is on to a better place and found serenity. And so she's touched so many people. I know it's been a big thing on our family timelines, and she just touched so many people that she will be missed. If you knew her, you loved her. So with that being said, Three Brothers No Sense, Six Rules of Podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment. Most importantly, listen again. Love you, Danielle. Talk to you guys later.